Welcome to Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Sarmalka Reichman, and today we're going to start learning Sefer Rus together. Sefer Rus is a magnificent story, and while only four chapters long, it may be the richest depiction of relationship between people in all of Tanakh, giving us a window into the most intimate communications and interactions between these iconic people that we're learning about. And while Sefer Rus is a magnificent Sefer, we're still left with the question, what makes Sefer Rus Tanakh worthy? And if we posit, as Chazal do, that perhaps it's to provide us with a detailed origin of the lineage that will lead to the Davidic line, Malchus based David, and in turn will lead to Mashiach and the redemption for which we are all still waiting, it still could have been provided as a few details, a few psukim that were tacked on to perhaps Sefer Shmuel. The Gemara of Bava Basra teaches us that Shmuel wrote Sefer Shoftim, Sefer Shmuel, and Sefer Rus. While Sefer Shoftim depicts the era during which Am Yisrael was led by judges, and Shmuel is the transition to the monarchy and the beginning of the monarchy, Rus seems to almost be a microcosm of what was going on the personal level with one particular family that may enlighten our study of Shmuel and Shoftim. This transition from the era of the Shoftim to the specific family of Naamin and Elimelech is made in the first pasuk of Sefer Rus. Vayhi bimei Shvot haShoftim, vayhi ra'av ba'aretz, vayilech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda lagor b'shtei Moav. So we have this extension that jumps from the era to what's going on with this particular family. And Chazal, focusing on the fact that instead of saying vayhi bimei haShoftim, the pasuk says Shvot haShoftim, Chazal tells Oy lahem l'dor sheshaftu eshoftehem. What was the generation who judged their own judges? Making the point that what was going wrong during this era was not simply that there were people who were unethical, but that the unethical behavior became a societal institution where they prevented the judges from judging them, and therefore there was no way to uphold the moral standards. The Midrash says that an individual who was judged, who was put on trial, would then mete out his punishment upon the judge. Ma diva me'avad li, avadat alei. What that judge was about to do to me, was going to do to me, I did to him. Depicting a very, very troubled society that we, of course, hear about throughout Shoftim, described with the words, ish hayashar be'inav yaseh, every person does whatever he pleases. And perhaps it is actually quite vivid in this pasuk that it says, "Vehi bimei shvot haShoftim, vehi ra'av." As a result of this, Hashem brings a ra'av, a famine, to the land. Already within the first five psukim of Sefer Rus, we have what seems to be the story of an entire lifetime of a family. We have Elimelech and Naomi, Machlon and Kilion leaving Beis Lechem, going to stay Moav. Elimelech dies, Machlon and Kilion marry Orpah and Rus, Machlon and Kilion die, and all this happens in the first five psukim. It seems as the first five psukim are just creating a backdrop for the rest of the entire Sefer. Who are these people? Well, we're told very little of these people, which might be why Chazal go to great lengths to find the depiction of their character within their names. And it says, Elimelech, his name expressed the idea, Eli Tavo Malchus. The monarchy will come to me. Whether he felt that he deserves the monarchy or he just knew that the Davidic line will come through him, it seems to connote a certain complacency that things are going to work out just fine, regardless of what his moral decisions are. There's a famine. Chazal fill in the rest for us, telling us that Elimelech, who was a person of great stature, was very wealthy, and he had storehouses of grain. And he worried. He said, everybody's going to come and surround my home. Zem kubato. Everybody's going to come with his little wallet, begging for food. And this seemed to be too much for Elimelech. And Elimelech has an option. As opposed to other people in Am Yisrael, he has wealth. He can pick up and leave. And in case we weren't sure about his motivations and why he's leaving, he has a choice of destination. And his destination proves to be his comfort zone. He picks up and he goes to Moab. Moab is the nation that we're told we cannot take from Gerim from them because lo kidmu etchem belechem uvmayim. These are the people who would not share their food with you. So he goes and he finds a place that he can be in his comfort zone where there's nothing challenging his moral level. With this decision to leave Beis Lechem, Chazal tell us, he peel liban shel Yisrael. Elimelech caused the hearts of Am Yisrael to fall. It was devastating for them, struggling with the famine, to see their leadership leave. Chazal tells us that he may have been the Shofet Ivtzan. And in any case, he was a person who had the means to care for them, to provide for them. And if they saw him as the potential caretaker, to see their caretaker leave was devastating for them. As for Naomi, Chazal tell us that her name says everything about her. Ma'aseha na'im uni'imim. Her ways are nice, they are pleasant, and she goes along with her family. The Medrash says that she was tafel to her husband, meaning it was not her active decision to depart. She followed her family as a loyal wife and mother. Twice in this brief story, we hear regarding Naomi Batisha Er. She is left. Finally, Batisha Er Ha'isha Mishnei Yiladeha Umeisha. She is left. She remains from her husband and her two sons. And Chazal points out the usage of this word. They say that she was only Shirei Shirayim. She was but a remnant, a vestige of who she used to be. After these tragedies befell her, she was no longer the same person, and she was but a mere remnant of who she used to be. On the one hand, a very sad kind of way of depicting Naomi with this word, Vatisher. On the other hand, when somebody is the remnant, they're also the hope. They're the Ud Mutzal Me'ish. They're that little ember that can still burst into a flame. So while she is certainly not the same person she used to be, and she is, as Chazal say, Shirei Shirayim, she's that remnant. She's that vestige from which the future can come forth. At this point, Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, pick up and they leave Stay Moab. Atakam hi v'chaloseh v'tashav m'stay Moab. And the only thing we know in terms of what they're thinking, they are all trying to leave Stay Moab. Malbim points out that there's clearly a bad mazel there for them. Life has not treated them well in Moab. And then we hear in the singular, Kishama b'stay Moab, Naomi heard, Kifakat Hashem esamo l'seis lahem lachem. Hashem remembered his nation in order to provide them with bread and end the famine. The Malbim says that Naomi heard, Kifakat Hashem esamo. Hashem is relating to Am Yisrael as his nation, and therefore she realizes that the famine is at a real end. Hashem has forgiven Am Yisrael, their ways have changed, and he will now provide food for them. They leave together, the three of them. They're all together, and they go, Baderech Hashuv El Eretz Yehuda. And at this point, all anybody knows is that her daughters-in-law are escorting Naomi. Now, she feels like it's time to say goodbye. Go back, each one of you, to your mother's home. Hashem should do a kindness with you. Hashem should do a kindness for you, just like you did with the dead and with me. And the Medrash tells us that the specific kindness that they did for the dead was that, in accordance with Moabite law, one is meant to take money from the estate of the deceased in order to provide them with burial garments and with the burial, but that Rus and Arpa did not take from the estate, but rather use their own money for the tachrichim and the burial costs of the deceased. And in addition, Imadi, they have done chesed with Naomi. Also, Chazal tell us that they did not demand the money that was coming to them from their ksuba, of course, leaving more to provide for Naomi. Naomi blesses them, Yitain Hashem lachem u'metzena minucha isha beis isha, v'tishak lahin, Vatisena kolan vativkena. She kisses them, and they cried. Perhaps all three of them cried. Vatomarna la ki itach nashuv la'amech. They say, oh no, we plan on coming back with you to your nation. At this point, Nami attempts for the second time to convince them not to accompany her. She tells them that she cannot provide for them, and that specifically, even if she would marry now, it would be unreasonable for them to wait until she has children and the children grow up for them to marry. At this point, once again, Arba and Rus must make a decision, but unlike the first time, their decisions differ. Vatisena kolan vativkena od, they raise up their voices, they cry more. Vatishak Arpa lachamosa v'rus davka ba. Arpa kisses her mother-in-law goodbye, and Rus cleaves to her mother-in-law. Chazal, in explaining their names, tell us that Orpa's name is Orpa ki havcha Arpa lachamosa. She turned the back of her neck to her mother-in-law, meaning she turned around and walked away from her mother-in-law. V'rus davka ba. Rus's name signifies the fact, Ratab Divrei Chamota. She really saw, or we would say understood, the words of her mother-in-law. She understood her mother-in-law all along, who she is and what her value is. And once again, Naomi attempts, now only with Rus, because she's the only one who remains. Vatomer, Hinei Shava Yivimteich Elama Ve'el Eloheha Shuvi Acharei Yivimteich. Look, see, Arpa has gone back to her God. You go also. At this point, Rus gives a very determined and unequivocal answer. Chazal see in her answer a response to so much conversation that we are not privy to here in Sefer Rus. Rus says, do not try anymore. Al tifki'i vi la'azvech lashuv me'acharayach. Do not try to beg me anymore to leave you and to go away from you. Ki el asher telchi eilich uvasher talini alin. Amech ami ve'elokayich elokai. Where you go, I will go. Where you sleep, I will sleep. Your God is my God. Basher tamusi amus. However you die, I will die. V'sham ekaver, and there I will be buried. Ko yas Hashem li v'cho yosif. Ki hamaves yefrid beini uveinich. Only death will separate between you and me. And Chazal fill in the rest of the conversation, telling us that each one of these specific statements, which are so beautiful, on the part of Rus, was a response to Nami's attempt to tell her about all of the mitzvos and how challenging it could be to take upon yourself the burden of keeping the entire Torah. Chazal tell us, Asher telchi eilech. She was telling her, you know, on Shabbos you can't go wherever you want. There's a tchum Shabbos. There's a distance beyond which you cannot travel on Shabbos. And so Rus responds, okay, wherever you go, I'll go. Naomi then tells her about the stringent laws of yichud, of being alone with a man. At which point she says, well, basher talini alin, wherever you sleep, I'll sleep. And then Rus tells her that to be part of this nation, there are many, many mitzvos. Amechami, your nation is my nation. Belokayach elokai. And then Naomi tells Rus that there are consequences when people transgress the prohibitions. There are the four deaths that are meted out by the court, the Arba Misos based in. At which point Rus says, Basher Tamusi Amos. And of course, this becomes the basis from which Chazal learned that when someone attempts to convert to Judaism, a person is meant to try three times to argue and to change their decision or bring them to their senses, after which we accept the conversion of the ger. Batereki mitametzet hi lalechet ita, batechtal ledaber eleha. Naomi sees that Rus is absolutely stubborn in her decision, and she stops talking to her. And the question that this story begs is, what is Rus going back for? Why is she giving up? We're told that she's the princess Melech Eglon's daughter, the princess of Moab. Why is she giving up her homeland, everything with which she's familiar, to go to stand out and be different and be poor in Eretz Yisrael? Is it because she is so close to Naomi and Naomi is now the person with whom she has the closest bond? Or is it because of her appreciation for Am Yisrael and for the Torah? The Malbim too seems to be grappling with this question of how can we tease out the real motivation, why Rus is going back and accompanying Naomi. And he says that Rus says, "Bal tachshov ki tachas halichati mishuna min tachas halichatech." Don't think that the purpose of my walking, my going to Eretz Yisrael is different from your purpose. He says, no, you're going back there so you could keep the mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael. And I'm going back for the same reason. Don't think I have ulterior motivations. She says, Amecha mi velokayecha lokay. Kfar tafasti toras elokecha uminhagei bnei amecha. I already caught on to, I am already grasping the practice of the Torah of your God and the practices of Am Yisrael. And I'm going to be kachas mi bnei amech. I'm going to be just like everyone else in your nation. It really is difficult to distinguish what is going on here with Rus and Naomi. Is it the personal level? Is it on the religious level? But Chazal tell us, Ratah b'dibrei chamota, all of these years, Rus has had the ability to discern, to see the value of the things that Naomi says. And Rus sees that the elevated, unique, spiritual person whose ma'asim are na'im, whose ways are so pleasant, this Naomi, everything that she is the outgrowth of her keeping the Torah and mitzvos. One cannot separate a person who has been completely inculcated with Torah, who's been keeping the Torah and mitzvos, from those Torah and mitzvos. And we heard, Vatechdal l'daber ileha, that Naomi stops speaking to Rus, and we can picture them walking in silence with the gravity of this common mission upon their shoulders, going back to Eretz Yisrael to lead the lifestyle that Rus is choosing. And the pasuk equates them, Vateilachna shtehem, they go together, Ad bo'ana beislachem, Vayhika bo'ana beislachem, Vateihom kol ha'ir. They return to beislachem, the entire city is in shock. You can almost picture them whispering, Vatomarna hazos na'ami, could this be the aristocratic, well-to-do, distinguished Naomi? And Naomi hears what they're saying. And as if giving validity to this idea that Chazal teach us so much based on the names of the people in Sefer Rus and find so much meaning in their names, Naomi says, don't call me Naomi anymore. Al tikra'ena li Naomi. Don't call me a name that is full of pleasantness. Karena li mara. Call me bitter ki. Hashem has made it my life very bitter. Hashem, I left here full in so many ways, both with material wealth, with family, and now Hashem has returned me empty. Don't call me Naomi anymore. Hashem has made it difficult for me. The parak ends. Vatashav Naomi v'Rus ha-Moavia. Chalasa ima. Naomi and Rus the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, goes back ima with her. Hashava mistay Moav. They're returning from stay Moav. They're leaving stay Moav. Ironically, vehim ba'u beis lechem. They come to the place of bread. They're leaving that nation that symbolizes an unwillingness, asher lo kidmu eschem belechem uvamayim, an unwillingness to share bread. And they come back to the place of bread. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmas, Rose Foreman, Razel Rachel Bas Aryalev, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bas Shlomo.